is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is March 1st, and it's a Friday, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today is Open Line Friday. That means you can call in. That means you can call in, and we can entertain, discuss, reason over whatever you want to talk about. We could talk about what's trending in social media, what's trending in the news. And of course, as usual, I have one or two things I wish to talk about, wish to do an analysis on, wish to do commentary on, wish to do some introspection on, right? Of course, I have Erin Green joining me. She's going to be the resident reader for today, as usual, and also to help me stay disciplined when I go on a tangent and say, hey, I vex. Because I try to be happy. I try not to be too vexed about anything. But there are a number of things I am concerned about, a number of things I think you should be concerned about, a number of things I think you should be talking about or even celebrating happening inside the Bahamas. But before I start all of that, I just forwarded something to Erin. But I want to mention that a number of Bahamians are attending Howard University. When I was younger, when I was in high school, they said Howard University was the Ivy League of HBC, Historical Black Universities and Colleges, HBCU. I hope I pronounced that right. Right. So that was the school everybody wanted to attend. Right. I know that we have a number of our swim team attending Howard University now, a number of Bahamians, and that's something I want to celebrate and herald. But I have a particular student who just won an award. Did you get it for me?
Absolutely.
Yes, that I want to give mention and give a shout out to. So let me do that first.
So we're going to say congratulations to Michael Major Jr., who got the Rookie of the Year of the Week standard for Bison Tennis, and that's the university he belongs to. We say congratulations to him. And this is a little brief read from Nuri. That is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. So Carolina Central Junior Hugo Hildago Vega was named Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference Men's Tennis Player of the Week, while Howard Freshman, this is our guy now.
Freshman, by the way.
Michael Major Jr. earned Rookie of the Week honors presented by Coca-Cola. Howard Jr. Nadia Pengram was named Women's Tennis Player of the Week, while Bison teammate Imani Jean earned Rookie of the Week honors. So Michael Major Jr. earned Rookie of the Week honors presented by Coca-Cola. Congratulations.
Yeah. I work actually with Michael Jr.'s father, Michael Sr., right?
Right.
And he was telling me that his son is doing well in university and that he got this award. I did not know we had so many Bahamians playing tennis at a university level.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I know we play tennis, right, and especially in high school and going to the private schools. But to get scholarships, to get such accolades regarding tennis is something major. I only can imagine that in 5 years you can have already have another Farrington, Mark Farrington. You can have another Leo Rowell, and tennis will be the next big thing. Like perhaps again we'll have Bahamians playing in Wimbledon. What is that? That's what I pronounced it.
Wimbledon
and stuff like that. So I'm excited about that.
All right.
Okay.
So, hold on. Back to Howard. You're absolutely right. We have a number of students at Howard. If you look at the story in this week's paper, in fact, yesterday's Guardian, Taylor earns Top Swimmer Award. Bahamian swimmers wrap up action. Bahamian collegiate swimmers wrapped up action in their respective National Collegiate Athletic Association Conference Swimming Championships this past weekend. And we're going to look at the Howard team. Over at the Spire Institute in Geneva, Ohio, Luke Kennedy Thompson, Errol Thompson III, Jack Barr, Mark Anthony Thompson, Kalia Albrey, and Zaylee Elizabeth Thompson were competing in the Northeast Conference Championships for the Howard University Bison.
Mm-hmm.
Bisons, all of them. All of them.
Yeah, I know Errol Thompson, actually. He attended Tenand's. He goes to Tenand's church. He's doing well. He's not an ordinary swimmer. Yeah. I expect him to make waves, see the pun there, and even make it to the Olympics, or at least he's swimming at a different level altogether. And mm-hmm. all these Bahamians who make it here are talented.
And another Bahamian, Jamila Hepburn, for the Stonehill College Skyhawks, was also at that same
meeting. Oh, nice. Yeah. So many Bahamians at one event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So, anyway, we're going to talk about what's in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my newspaper? I want you to read something for me. Because I am concerned, and the flippancy is what has me concerned, the flippancy. And the headline is, OPM hits out after tax spend admission. I want us to read that into the records. Hey, mind you, this comes off, secondly, when we heard that some money was reallocated from the Disabilities Commission. Right? And then, you know, I was really vexed at that. And then less than a day later, you see a new headline. And I am concerned. And I'm asking my listening audience, should we as Bahamians be concerned? Should we demand more of our leaders? Or are we just picking on them? Is it something to ignore? So, man, this happens all the time. We should ignore it. It's just money. But let's read into that, and then we'll analyze that there.
Absolutely. Reading from the headline, OPM hits out after tax spend admission. Amid public backlash over its acknowledgement that tax dollars were used in part to campaign for the Progressive Liberal Party ahead of the West Grand Bahama and Bimini by-election last November, the Office of the Prime Minister yesterday accused the Nassau Guardian of attempting to, quote, generate controversy on the matter, which it claimed, quote, defies common sense. You forgive me, I have a little bean in my throat.
That's okay. It might grow to a beanstalk.
The Guardian reported yesterday that a $100,000 payment reflected in the government's recent supplemental budget to cover the cost of the Prime Minister's travels was for travel to West Grand Bahama and Bimini after the death of Minister of Social Services, Information and Broadcasting, Obi Wilchcombe, on September 25th, 2023. Wilchcombe was MP for the area at the time of his death. Responding to a question from The Guardian this week, OPM said the purpose of the travel included, quote, to urge the minister's constituents to support the government's candidate to fill the seat so as to best support more change and progress in Grand Bahama and Bimini, close quote. Opposition leader Michael Pintard called it a confession of abuse of the public treasury and said heads must roll. Pintard questioned, quote, will the Prime Minister take responsibility for once again exercising bad judgment and engaging in unacceptable behavior? Close quotes. Seeking to explain the matter further, OPM, Office of the Prime Minister, released a statement yesterday saying, quote, in his 2.5 years in office, the Prime Minister has made dozens of visits to the family islands, underscoring his government's commitment to expanding, and we turn to page A3, economic opportunities across our archipelago, close quotes. It added, quote, during the Prime Minister's visits to West Grand Bahama and Bimini in October and November of last year, he inaugurated a new government complex with multiple services. He visited children benefiting from his school breakfast program. He signed a $100 million Ocean Key expansion heads of agreement. He reviewed current and new infrastructure projects, including major airport and road improvements, and he led a cabinet meeting focused on Family Islands development. In its earliest statement to The Guardian, OPM noted these initiatives were carried out after Wilchcombe's death and in the lead up to the by-election to replace him. It maybe a typo here, its statement. Yesterday, the Prime Minister's office said, quote, on days during which he, the Prime Minister, conducted official business and then at night met with Bahamians in his capacity as leader of his party. Should he have flown back to Nassau, then returned on another flight paid for by the party, whom precisely would that have served? This attempt to generate controversy defies common sense. OPM said, quote, the Prime Minister and his team have generated more than $2 billion in new investments in our family islands, launched major infrastructural improvements, and are working to expand solar energy on multiple islands. So the Prime Minister plans to continue traveling to our islands to oversee these and other initiatives and to visit with and hear from family islanders. Bahamians will decide for themselves if the progress they see justifies the cost of his visits. Close quotes. Do I really have to continue reading this, sir?
Please continue.
Okay. The PLP descended on West Grand Bahama and Bimini in large numbers ahead of the by-election, which the party's candidate Kingsley Smith won by a significant margin on November 22, 2023. In the race, which was widely viewed as a test of the Davis administration's popularity among voters, Smith secured 2,150 votes, while the FNM's Bishop Ricardo Grant received 1,276 votes. The Davis administration has repeatedly come under fire over travel-related expenses since the PLP won the general election in 2021. Following Prime Minister Philip Davis's mid-year budget statement to Parliament last week, the Nassau Guardian reported that the government reallocated $1.64 million in the Office of the Prime Minister's approved budget for the 2023-2024 fiscal year to cover the cost of travel. In October 2022, the Davis administration was roundly criticized after the Nassau Guardian revealed that it took a political trip to Bermuda at the expense of taxpayers. End of article.
I wanted you to read that because I have listeners who are visually impaired. Paupers out there. We tend to read these things because I know they're listening. Mm-hmm. And they appreciate when we read it, especially when we interrogate what we have read also. So this is where we got, right? We know that the Office of the Prime Minister was going to come out and defend the travel trip. That's a given. I'm cool with that. And that's their job. That's what the Director of Communications' job is, right? I have no problem with our Prime Minister going to every family island every week if he wants to. We have the budget. We'll spend the money, whatever it is. In the U.S., we say we print money. We could print the money and go.
But here's my thing. Why, if you initially came out, because if you go back to the top of the story, right? You this is what you read. Responding to a question from The Guardian this week, OPM, Office of the Prime Minister, said the purpose of the travel included, quote, to urge the minister's constituents to support the government's candidate to fill the seat so as to best support more change and progress in Grand Bahama and Bimini. First of all, they're not supporting the government's candidate because the government doesn't have a candidate. You're supporting the PLP party's candidate. And if you said it like that, then perhaps you would understand why people think you need to pay for this trip.
That's why they came back and tried to correct it. They realized the boo-boo they said initially, that it seemed to be political. And they said, no, it wasn't political. It's for the government and the government there. But this is my concern here. I saw the campaigning in West End and in Bimini. There are about maybe 100 to 200 strong of party membership who moved from Nassau, who stayed in Bimini and who stayed in Grand Bahama, right? I'm not sure who paid for them, right? Mm-hmm. So far, the no one inside the PLP, particularly the chairman, has yet to say, no, we paid our part. Those people, those 100 to 200 strong people you saw there, we paid that. Our party paid that, and not the government. They have yet to come out and say that to leave my concern, mm-hmm. right? But I know $100,000 the government, me, my taxpayers spent. But spent on who? Did I spend it on the prime minister? Did I spend it on some ministers? Or did I spend it on politicians? And they what do you call the people, the sycophants? Did I spend it on sycophants who traveled to the family island to stay in a hotel?
Because here's my thing: the prime minister travels with a security team.
I ain't calling them.
He comes to an island to conduct government business. Mm-hmm. is that security team off duty when he then decides he's going to conduct party business? Are we paying for a security team who's guarding a prime minister while he's engaged in activities as a leader of the PLP party?
Our prime ministers need to be protected 24 hours. So they, yes.
Yeah, but that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. My question is, who's responsible for paying for it? I have a problem.
Mm. And is that over time?
I have a problem that you would be paying a security team whose regular job is to provide security for the prime minister.
Mm.
And now my taxpayer dollars are being used to provide security for the leader of the PLP. That's in and of itself, for me, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Secondarily, you mean to tell me that you're spending money to campaign for a person that didn't know how to fill out the public declaration form?
Who still haven't declared it yet. Yes, we're paying for that. And we must also appreciate that there were a number of members of parliament who flew down to Grand Bahama and was on the ground campaigning. It was a full contingent of PLP MPs, not, and I still mentioned the sycophants, the supporters, the party loyal supporters who campaigned door to door. Like I said, it's up to 100 strong people who had to stay overnight, weeks. And is this budget, this $100,000, does that include hotel rooms, transportation? And should I be concerned if I'm paying sycophants to campaign?
Listen, do we dock the pay of politicians do we dock the pay of government actors when they are acting in the capacity as a politician? Right? You weren't in Nassau where your work is. Where were you? What were you doing? Was it government business or was it party business?
Mm.
And who's responsible for paying you during that period? Because surely the Treasury should not be funding political campaign exercises. The Treasury should have no part in it. They should not be paying. They should not be paying for the snacks that you provide at the meeting. They shouldn't be paying for the taxi that you took to the party meeting. And these are the things that people are concerned about. Do you understand what it means to say we want equal and equitable access to national resources?
Mm-hmm.
And then further, why didn't your party supporters pay for the memorial? Why didn't your party supporters, the people who loved Obi so much, understand the desire of the staff within his ministry and other ministries to celebrate his life? Why didn't you all find the money to pay for the memorial?
That's a whole different story, and I appreciate you bringing it up. My question now to you, should PLP supporters be concerned about this spending?
I would be concerned because I would hate for the Prime Minister to suggest that, or the office of the Prime Minister to suggest that it's me, a PLP supporter. That's the reason why this money is spent. Right? Like, don't put it on me. Don't put it on me as a supporter of the party. I didn't make the decision.
One point there in the article that the Prime Minister uttered, or the office of the Prime Minister of that day, is that the traveling that our Prime Minister is doing has resulted in 1.9 million, remember that part you read, in investments on the family island. I remember an article we read some time ago where it says 40% of all the total investment in the Bahamas is in Exuma, right? Somebody is pushing for Exuma to have a lot of business and foreign investments in Exuma, right? And I smiled because I say 40% is a big number for a family island, right? For the whole of Bahamas.
A family island where foreigners buy the school bus for the high school?
We have good foreigners that.
That's not an indictment on the foreigners themselves. That should be obvious to anybody that hears that critique.
Yeah.
It's never an indictment on the foreigner who, through goodwill, provides a service that the government should be providing but isn't. The critique is never on the foreigner.
I'm just saying that, I smile it now, Aaron, that the idea that the Office of the Prime Minister is bragging about the Prime Minister, I see the caller, the Prime Minister is traveling. Right? Does that negate the person who is Minister of Investment? Does that negate the person who's in charge of Ministry of Tourism, who's working in, I wouldn't say independently, but I'll use the word independently to make sure these investments come in? Because it seems to say, suggesting that it's the Prime Minister's traveling himself is bringing in all of these investments, this $1.9 million. Let's read that part if you find that again.
Reading from the article in today's Guardian, OPM hits out after tax spend admission. OPM said, the Prime Minister, quote, the Prime Minister and his team have generated more than $2 billion in new investments in our family islands.
The team means the Minister of Investment and the Tourism Minister. That's what he meant, to be included. That's, but he didn't mention that. Just anyway, go ahead.
Everybody who was on the West Grand Bahama convoy,
yeah.
All of them are needed. They were all needed to... Yeah. Generate this $2 billion.
All of those people who's walking. Anyway, let's go to the caller, and we'll find another thing to transition to. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neri.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, ma'am. Morning, ma'am.
Hey, I have a question. Statements put out by the Office of the Prime Minister.
Yes, ma'am.
Are those statements just those of Mr. Latrell Ramming, or does he stick with the Prime Minister and they come to an agreement as what statement he put out?
Mr. Ramming represents the Prime Minister.
Don't feel like he speaks for the Prime Minister unless told to wait.
He speaks for the Prime Minister. He is hired for a job and he's doing his job.
And see, the reason why I ask that is because sometimes the things that he says makes almost no sense when you think about it. So I'm trying to figure out if he's just going on his own word. Or is he going on what was told to him to say?
He makes sense. I just disagree with what he says sometimes, but he makes sense.
I mean,
exactly.
And that's one critique. The other critique is, in and of itself, what he says makes sense. Maybe when you juxtapose it to what other members or other people in the OPM, Office of the Prime Minister, is saying, right? Like when you hear what he says the Prime Minister said, mm-hmm. by itself, it makes sense. But when you hear what he said, the Prime Minister said, juxtaposed to what the Prime Minister said, he said, it don't
exactly.
make sense.
And then the Prime Minister comes back eventually and says something else.
Then
somebody else comes and says something else. And then before you know it, you're like six stories that goes along with one statement.
You know what that spells?
I just about to mention that normally the Prime Minister comes back and correct them all anyway and said, this is what he intended to say back and forth.
That's how you spell distraction.
Yeah.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Neri. How are you all doing today?
Good,
doing
thank you, sir.
Okay. To answer your question, you said it's an open line, right, Neri?
Yeah, man, talk whatever you want to talk about.
Man, I thank you for open
I
line.
I mean, except what's before the courts.
Huh?
Except what's before the courts.
Yeah, I see they still be talking about some of them, but I ain't going to do that. You know, to answer your question, Mr. Neri, mm-hmm. if PLP supporters, then I forget how you asked it. But
should be concerned.
Yes, we should be concerned. We should take responsibility and blame for what's happening. You know why? Because we put them there and because we trust them. You understand? First thing they can tell you, they get a mandate, we put them there to do it. And we must trust them for whatever they do. And when election time comes, we can do what we want to do. But we should be concerned. I don't believe they respect us. They care less what the general behemoth public have to say. You understand? I talk about my new day government. And this ain't nothing new. Like I say, the former governments and former political parties, them do it too. But they care less what we have to say. And it's so sad. We should have been able to punish them different from being able to just, and I mean punish them legally. Something should be there, like a recall system or something to stop this party and what they doing and having fun. They shouldn't be able to get away just laughing at us and then carry on. Like they so concerned, like they really care if they win or not, talking foolishness.
Papa,
they
know
they don't care.
I know they laughing at us, right? I'm just saying that someone needs to challenge them. And it's hard to challenge your own party. When you
mean it's hard?
No, man, they smash you up.
So stand up, man. Let me encourage you to stand up. What you meaning? You got to stand up. They ain't going to respect you. You fall down, you be a yeser, man. And you just be... Everything, yes. They wrong. We should be concerned, and we got to take responsibility because we put them there. And why we put them there? Because they tell us they can do things them the right way, and we trust them. Now, it turned out to be, you know, regrettable. You feel bad about it. But we have to take responsibility. Since you said it's an open line, that's old news, what they're talking about takes in Caicos Island, stopping the Haitian people from coming to business or whatsoever because of the crime and the gangs, what happened in Haiti, the tripping down and takes and cakes. That's old news or new news?
That was recent. That was recent.
Recent?
Yeah, that's recent.
Are we going to do the same thing? Because I believe what's going on in the Bahamas has something to do with a little bit what happened in Haiti too.
Our situation is different.
Different? 100%? Or you mean like maybe... different in some ways.
Let me give you an example, right? I'll go on a limb. This is my numbers now. That maybe
some of them gangs over here participating in this crime. What happened?
Yeah, no. Let me say this first. Mm-hmm. I'll go on the limb and say maybe a third of our population is of Haitian extract. A third. 33%. How much that could be? 400,000. That'd be like 30,000.
But I don't blame all of them for the crime problem.
Right? I know. And Turks and Caicos, I believe their population is about 50% to 60% of Haitian extract.
They're feeling it more.
So their situation is so dire that they're creating laws in their desperation. We're not at that point.
We don't do that before. We do that a few years, but a year ago or less than a year ago. And maybe some people here believe, right, Nuri, that we need to consider it again. Because although you say it's less over here, I guess you would have to maybe really go and do a little interview again, or maybe sit down and talk and see what's happening. I believe we need to be careful. Like how are we talking about if we go into health aid or we ain't going to help aid? This stuff affects us, and there's some things we need to do. Even if we support them or help them or get ready for the election or whatever, we just can't be sitting down. And I think Turks and Caicos Island, I guess they're doing what's best for their country.
Exactly what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You talking about limiting Haitian migration to the Bahamas?
No, ma'am. Listen. You remember when we had the pandemic or something the other day, we just stopped that? We just stopped them from coming here?
Yeah.
Well, I believe the pandemic might have been a little more serious, but this crime problem and what they do with the marching of Haiti over there. And then I hear the Haitian, I don't know if I answer you, but I hear the Haitian man was saying, we shouldn't send our police over there.
But,
we shouldn't come over.
But Papa, where do you live? I'm going to ask you a question. Where do you live? Were you living in the Bahamas when the Minister of Foreign Affairs intimated that Bahamians need to seriously consider that we need the migrant labor?
Well, Ms. Green, I kind of sure.
And then let me ask you another question.
What do we need there?
Over the last year of public discourse about the presence of the Haitian migrant and the Haitian migrant laborer in the Bahamas, right? Mm-hmm. We had the head of the construction association come out and say that a vast percentage of employees in that space are of Haitian descent. Is anybody on the ground listening to what politicians are saying and organizing themselves accordingly?
They might have a jamming screen, but some of the things what they're saying, it is a fact. We need.
No, here's what we need. We need organized labor.
Yes, regularization. We need to
That's not what I'm saying. We need organized labor. It could be Bahamian labor. It could be Haitian migrant labor.
But it's got to be organized. It's got to be regulated.
But, Papa, you're missing the point.
What is the point?
The point is that Bahamian laborers refuse to organize themselves. They refuse to acknowledge the environment that they're working in.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to take account. And if they dislike the legislative and policy environment that they're working in, they refuse to organize themselves to respond to the government and say, substantively, we do not want this policy. We refuse to accept this policy. And we refuse to allow you.
You mean like the policy, like work permits, like how we doing like 40,000 or 60,000 work permits? You mean something like that to stop that so more Bahamians could be able to. See, I think we should have options. I don't want you to force me to have to hire a Bahamian. If a Bahamian little lousy.
Right. So what I'm saying is, mm-hmm. Have Bahamians responded and organized themselves? Because
We joke. That's why they're coming and doing things, and because we ain't doing it the right way, and then
I'm not talking at the administrative level. I'm not talking about the politicians. I'm talking about the Baydem who go to work to pave roads in slippers and socks. I'm talking about the young Baydem who go to work late and tell their boss, I was here on time, but I had to finish my joint before I gone to work.
Mm-hmm.
Papa, thank you very much, eh? Okay.
But about Captain and the people, them who they found out there in Ahwaki the other day. And they had to come from Inagua to get to Ahwaki. And the police, them had to maybe search the boat first before it come this way. They had 30-something, but 8 females, 20-something males and all that stuff. What about the license for the boat and stuff? Why we...
Yes. And I appreciate your concern. And I understand that.
That story, I think you mentioned that story earlier in the week, Papa, and that story has, I think, made it to the public domain, I think, in yesterday's Guardian or Tribune.
I want to put this on the table, too. Should we, Bahamians, be concerned about Charifta? When I say Charifta, I talk about the swim Charifta. As you know, the Bahamas has won the swimming Charifta like 4 years straight. I might be wrong with the number. But 5 years straight, right? But a texter just reminded me, said, spending tax monies on political campaigning but can't finish the pool at the Betty Kelly Kenning Aquatic Center in time for Charifta. It's March 1st and the clubs cannot use the main pool to practice. This is crazy considering Charifta starts on March 29th.
I got an article about that.
And we can read that article too. If, God forbid, because it can't happen, if the Bahamas happen to lose swim Charifta, this, because we expect to win. That is just us. We know we have a superior team, but we weren't able to practice using the pool at all since last year. If we, God forbid, lose this swim Charifta, can we put this blame on the minister?
The whole PLP government should take the blame for it.
No, the Office of the Prime Minister come and explain it, of course. You know, they come and re-explain everything. I'm just saying that be watching, you know. We expect it. They guarantee a sale. It'll be ready in time. And said all, no expense can be saved. And we still don't have access to swim in a 50-meter pool. Should we be in a panic as a people, sports enthusiasts, saying, hey, this ain't working out. We need to have a plan B, you know? Should we be concerned? But you can get ready to read that article for me. And then we come to the call. Let's go to call first and read the article. Right? Go, producer Patrick, call us. Call, turn on your radio and go ahead.
Hello,
go ahead.
Yes, I don't deviate from the pressures on hand, but I have some concern. The prison visit, are you aware that stopped from the pandemic and has never been restored?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Are they using the electronic devices? Are they using telecommunications for visits?
No, but it's not widespread because I have not heard anybody who has done it. But I think if you have a crime problem, I think that exacerbated because you leave the outside influence of persons and especially young people for them to feel that they are still important to people outside and that they keep their morale up while they're in there. But mm-hmm. you cannot have them in there and they have a cut off from the outside world, especially the loved ones, their fathers, their mothers, their significant others, and so forth. I think that is very detrimental to their psyche, and the recidivism rate, I think, will be more exacerbated if you continue down this trend. Because you need the support of people showing that you are still accepted when you come back, or you still supported outside here. You know what I'm saying? Because if you feel that you have nothing to look for when you come out, what are you going to do? You are going to most likely gravitate towards people who of the position that you're trying to get away from, but they'll be accepted better because you don't know what happened out here.
Yeah, concern, that's merit. From here, I guess we reach out to the Minister of National Security and see.
It's a very important concern.
Yeah, see if what can he do? Is it the policy? Why is the policy still existing right now, post-COVID? But thank you very much. I'll work on that.
All right.
Go ahead, Aaron, with the article.
The article is entitled, Pool's Completion Date Pushed Back, Trials Headed to Another Venue. This is an excerpt from the article. To hardly anyone's surprise, the renovation being done to the Betty Kelly Kenning National Swim Complex for the Bahamas Aquatic Federation's Charifta Trials, dubbed the Last Chance Meet, will not be completed in time. And organizers are forced to find a temporary venue. This is going to be my last reading for the day, sir.
Your voice going?
It almost there.
Okay.
The date of the trials is March 8th through 9th. For now, the new venue will be King's College 25-meter pool on Weston Road. The new completion date of the swim complex has been pushed back from this month to the middle of March. Quote, the government has been able to secure King's College pool for the Charifta trials, and that's a 25-meter pool. That is something we moved away from 20 years ago to qualify for Charifta, said Cargill. I believe that's a much better alternative than flying to Miami to qualify, because that's a very significant expense, so we will make it work. We haven't seen the pool yet, and it has not yet been sanctioned by BAQ, so we have asked for the measurements to make sure we can sanction it. They apparently have electronic timing, and we've asked that we test it out. It's going to be a completely different experience, unlike what we've had, Cargill said. The 2024 Charifta Aquatics Championships is set for March 28th to April 7th, which is less than a month away. The Bahamas won the bid to host Charifta Aquatics in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I have a text here.
How long ago again?
2022. I have a text
what
here.
What year this is now?
2024.
How much years has transpired so far?
Almost 2 years.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's a text. Aaron, please stop reading that statement. This was from the earliest statement I was reading when I asked you if I could stop.
Mm-hmm.
Text, I didn't realize you felt my pain. You are running my pressure high. It's utter nonsense, the texter says. One never mixes business with other business. They must understand the citizenry is not dumb. They cannot mix the government's business with no other business, period. It does not look right. And Aaron, how do they separate the various funds? Come on, we are not stupid.
I still waiting to find out how much did the PLP pay for the balance of the Bermuda trip. We're just going quiet. See, I remember when we bid to have the Charifta, and I said then, the pool needs work. I don't think we should bid this. Why did we bid this? But the government guarantees, don't worry with the bid. Because there was criticism there, it was concern there, saying, no, we want it, but not right now, because so much work needs to be done. But they said, no, we have 2 whole years to do it. We'll do it in time. And of course,
it's not done.
And you see how what the paper said? Nobody is a surprise. Nobody in the Bahamas is surprised.
To hardly anyone's surprise.
Let's go to the caller, man. Go ahead, caller. God in Radio AM. Go ahead. Hello? You're live.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Mr. Neri, I fight with you on Facebook all the time. My name is Timothy Bruce on the page. But I love you on the air. I tell you that.
I appreciate that.
But I called for Ms. Green. I got a question for her.
Yes, sir.
She is supposed to be this connoisseur of Bahamian culture, cuisine, and music. But in her view, according to what she said to Papa just now, we're nothing but a bunch of lazy, pot-smoking people. I never hear you say that. Because if we are, here's my question. How come we... what we're contributing to the Bahamian economy as taxpayers, we're taking care of Haiti while they're sending their money back home. But some reason, these construction workers, they're asking for people to come and work. And Mr. Fred Mitchell is saying that we need workers in the Bahamas. And let me tell you something, darling. I live hand to mouth. If I don't go to work and do my job, I will literally starve. And I'm sure a lot of people in the Bahamas feel the same way. And a lot of people are looking for work right now. I don't know what's going on in the Bahamas right now. We seem to be fooled by this government and everything they do. They do it right in the front of our faces. And you ask, now my question to you is, you asked us, or the workers to organize, please tell me what is the first step in this process? And I'll hang up and listen to you. Thank you very much.
I didn't know you was anti-Bahamian, Aaron. I thought you was pro-Bahamian. Everything you do is normally be culture-oriented. Give an idea. Anyway, but you need to answer that.
Do I really need to answer it?
Give
you
a charge.
I couldn't give him an answer. He satisfied himself with his own thoughts.
So you got to that?
I'll answer it, Mr. Newry. Let me answer it, sir. I don't know why on such a fine day you would come in and attack me like that, because surely that's not what I said. What I asked Papa is, have Bahamians organized them sufficiently to compete in the local labor market that is being governed by an administration and successive administrations that refuse to be honest with them, refuse to fulfill their obligations to them? I have already asked the question multiple times, who will facilitate, assist, incentivize, support Bahamians in organizing their labor? Now, you can have an argument with me, but you can't have an argument with the truth. The truth is that the Bahamian labor market is not sufficiently organized, and it's certainly not organized to take advantage of the relevant policies administered by its own government.
Call, I see you. It's blinking. As soon as we come back from this break, I'm coming directly to you, caller. But this is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron is with me. The caller say she don't like Bahamians. But anyway, she really answered him just now.
What Aaron said is, perhaps you were the person who was supposed to help Bahamians organize their labor, sir. Because surely they're not going to come to me. if that's the label you put on me.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Bala boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Fish Fry Friday is back this Friday, March 1st, at Margaritaville, downtown Nassau, at 12 Volt Bar with the big band Visage, playing all your favorite soca music. This Friday, March 1st, come party at Fish Fry Friday. Experience the changes made for your dancing pleasure. Admission $25, one complimentary drink included. Enjoy the Fish Fry Buffet at Vacation Cafe for only $55, including the party. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. until 11:30 p.m. Tell your crew, meet you at Fish Fry Friday, this Friday, at Margaritaville, downtown Nassau, with the Big Band Massage.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I know the caller was waiting for a while. Let's go to the straight to the caller. Then we go back to Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Oh, the caller. Okay, go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? You're live.
Good morning, CA. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Very interesting question you posed there. Let me just put my spin onto this whole thing. First and foremost, I believe that the power is in the hands of Bahamians. And the Bahamians are being disenfranchised by what's going on with these work permit situations and everything. I've seen the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party is saying that the country does require immigrants to come into this country to apparently help to build the country. Whereas many of us do not disagree with the statement. However, I think it is more potent or more important that the government ensures that its citizens are gainfully and fully employed before we bring in the external persons to work this place. And don't say that there are certain jobs Bahamians would not work, because that is not true. Right now, as it stands, many of us are at the point of desperation, which means that we have to come out of our comfort zones, those zones that we are or we prefer to work in. But because we have responsibilities, we have families, we have bills to pay, and then with the increased taxation that's going on in this country, it forces us to come out of our box and actually do those other tasks that we traditionally or normally would not do. So I'll close on this one statement. Again, if the employers or this government would be responsible to ensure that Bahamians are paid at a rate in this country where we can survive in this country, as many of them are they are not attached, apparently, because they have it all. They have all the means that are at their disposal, so they do not feel what the average man on the ground feels. Perhaps if some of them would lower themselves and actually begin to experience what many people experience in this country, especially when it comes down to salaries, especially when it comes down to the increased taxations, perhaps they would understand what the average Bahamian have to go through in this country. And one final point here, I'll close on this point. You know, I believe that we can organize ourselves. I've heard many of my brothers in the construction field who are seasoned professionals. They've been in there, you know, from the Cavalier times and stuff. But however, because of the rate of pay that is necessary for them to survive in this country, cannot be met by many of these companies now that prefers cheap labor, which means that the immigrant who comes here and takes on work these particular trades may not be as experienced as many of us are, but because they are willing to work for little or nothing compared to what they are really supposed to be paid if they were here legally, if they were here with the experience, then they too would not work for the garbage or some of the pays that is being put out there. So I believe that we need to now flip this paradigm and get the pays that people really deserve to survive in this country. We need to get it up to that level where we can do some stuff here. Okay, and that's my point for today. And I just hope that the ears that are responsible for these areas are listening, be empathetic to what the Bahamian people are saying, and let's make the changes necessary to bring about to make sure that our Bahamian people are in the workforce, gainfully employed, and gainfully paid. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Certainly.
All right. So let me start and respond to both of those. I think it's important to acknowledge that for many decades, an electricity crisis has caused what we call the economy to be on its head, where people are paying their light bill costs amounts to the same as a mortgage or a monthly rental payment, right? People can't survive. That's imbalanced. That's dysfunctional. It made no sense, but Bahamians didn't pay attention to it as long as the gray markets and black markets were pumping sufficient money into to the general economy to make people feel like they were rich and they could tolerate it. Over the last few decades, the black market and the gray market have shrunk tremendously. That's the drug and contraband market and the numbers and gambling market. So much money has disappeared from the economy while the national economy has been increasing at a slow, minuscule pace. What's really been happening is the gray market and the black market has almost shrank to extinction. So people have a false sense of economic entitlement, because they're living in the past when a lot of what floated salaries is also the proceeds of gray and black market money, right? So we have an attitudinal adjustment that we must make. Now, you could always talk to your government about wages, but somehow we put our allegiance to political parties over our allegiance to our professional counterparts, other laborers, other citizens. That's a part of the problem. But let's talk about organizing Bahamian labor. This morning, I had a tumultuous drive to work as I had to navigate the road with an 18-wheeler with the plate MV2993. You could only see the plate of the vehicle on the front of the vehicle or in the back of the cab, but the cab obviously is towing a trailer. This vehicle decided to weave its way across and around Shirley Street, pushing people on the side of the road, running red lights, forcing its way through town. That driver's supposed to have a CDL, commercial driver's license, and somebody is supposed to be assessing and enforcing those policies. But let's get on top of it. I argue with you that 40% of commercial drivers in this country have no regard for the law and traffic controls. Somehow, the corporate commercial world cannot convince its own drivers with their company names on the vehicles they're driving to follow traffic controls, like not running red lights and stop signs, not parking on sidewalks and pedestrian crossings. This is what I'm talking about when I say we are unable to organize our labor. In fact, between the taxi and tow industry and the commercial corporate driver, it appears that there's a special class of drivers that can turn right on red with their company name plastered on the side of it. That is not organized labor, sir. Let's look at the Coconut Boys. The Coconut Boys have an entire industry at their feet, from consumable coconut products to organic landscaping and gardening coconut products, to alcoholic beverages. At their feet stands an empire, but they cannot organize themselves sufficiently to take advantage of what it is they have. In the alternative, many of them think they have a right to harass property owners for their coconuts so that they could make a living. That's not an organized labor market, sir. I could go on, but y'all seem to think that this is the 80s. This is not the 80s. There's not millions of dollars in drug money floating around the place. You can't walk out your house at 8 p.m. half naked and come back in a fresh suit and fresh clocks with a car. Bahamians need to get a grip and understand what it means to produce organized labor, and they need to begin to respond to what it is the politicians are saying, as opposed to sticking their heads in the sand and stenching themselves up against bygone and irrelevant cultural and individual community practices, man.
Let's try squeezing this last caller here. Producer Patrick, caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Very good morning to you and your co-host, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
I want to echo the sentiments of Jeffrey Delvaux when he talked about persons bringing in foreign workers that they pay much less money, and then they claim that their behemoths are not qualified or willing to work for the amount of money that they're paying these foreign workers. I'll give you a couple of examples. In two exclusive, all-inclusive properties in New Providence, we have foreign dancers. Some are Cubans, Puerto Ricans, perhaps in some cases Jamaicans. Where they use these dancers, they pay them far less money than they want to pay the Bahamian artists. And the Bahamian artists, who are highly qualified, would demand a rate of pay that we believe is equivalent to what we deserve. And so because we would not work for the less money, they say Bahamians don't want to work, or Bahamians are not qualified to do a Michael Jackson interpretation, for example. This is utter foolishness, and it has to stop in this country. It has been going on for decades, and our governments are aware of it because we have brought it to their attention on numerous occasions, and this has to stop for the new week.
Thank you, Mr.
And so I wish that those who have heirs to hear and the entertainment.
Well, look here, Mr. Nuri, the police can't even organize the police force to enforce traffic controls. We have a problem with organized labor in this town. It's time for somebody to take a look at it.
It's 12 o'clock. We got to go. Got in with AM with CA Nuri. Thanks very much, Kermit, for that. Have a wonderful day.